I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Mr. Josh Brown.
Hello there.
Hello. Now, we are actually recording this time. I did do another intro before and forgot to hit the button, but this time we're getting it all right. You know, people will see what sort of machinations have been in the background as to why I might be slightly less than 100%, which kind of sounds worse than it is. It just means that I'm juggling many, many things. This doesn't matter, but I tell you what does: Hades and Watch Dogs. We're both playing a variety of different amounts of time into both of these titles. And Hades is kind of held up as one of the potential games of the year. And so, because I definitely tweeted that out as well, I'm kind of on the Hades hype train. And I know that both of you guys are not as lining up with that as me. I think I'm going to start with Mr. Benroy, because you said you don't get it. You don't feel it. You're not in there.
I just think in terms of like roguelike, like, I can never really understand which one is which anymore.
Like?
In this, like, yeah. I think Spelunky 2 is about one of them, to be fair. And I played it for about 2 hours, and that's not me crapping on the game in any way. I just played it and I thought it's quite enjoyable. Like the first little minuscule part of the game where I didn't have a dash, I thought it was rubbish. And as soon as I got the dash, I was like, you know what? I've got a dash now. Because I think I said this before, and she was like, I love a good dodging rather than a good blocking. And like, right. And like, that was my problem with like inferior games like Sekiro, where just, the dodge was bad. But like with this,
we'll add a drink.
It's just, the thing about that, I don't see it being the best thing of the year, basically. I just put time into it for, admittedly, only a couple of hours. I'm still going to play more of it. So who knows, by next week, I might have already gone past Ben Roy as a stupid idiot. And actually, it's probably the best game.
You might do Witcher 3.
Yeah, I mean, that was different reasons. But
yeah, was it though? When are you going to get around to Breath of the Wild, mate? That's what I'm asking.
Well, this Christmas, maybe. I'm about a year behind now, so who knows?
It's Josh, what do you think of the whole Game of the Year stuff? Because I think, for me, I can see the argument for it, just in terms of the way that the whole game is structured. And I know you're a good few hours through. Like, I'm like 30 hours in. You managed to do what I did in 30 in like 20 minutes, and then you're sort of done.
not quite. I think I'm about, I can't check my time, but maybe like 15 hours in, 10 hours in. I don't know, but I'm at the end boss, and I've just sort of lost a lot of lust there, a lot of the passion I had for it, because although I've waned a little bit on my sort of passion for it now, I wasn't like Benroy. Like my first 2 hours with it, like I couldn't stop playing it. You know what I mean? Like the first few runs, like I just wanted to get back in, try out new things, upgrade my character, whatever, see more of the other characters, see what their relationships were like, etc. But now that I'm just at the end boss, like I got to there, that point like a week ago, and I've had two runs since. I had two over the weekend. I just went on, like did a run, got beat, went off. 2 days later, went on, got beat, went off. And I just don't have that same fire to go back to it anymore, which kind of sucks, because I do like want to see it out.
The hardest bit, which is like, because obviously a run is like sort of half an hour to 40 minutes once you kind of get it down. I guess you can trim it. Like, so obviously, someone speed run it in like 6 minutes, which I wish I was that person. But if you get to the final boss and then you lose, it's kind of like any roguelike stuff where you've done a build, you've done a character build, and you try and get to the final boss and then you die. I think that's the biggest blow to like, well, what the hell was the last half hour for? And I guess if you don't have those story pulls or those like character revelations and stuff or any sort of character writing, it's easier to put it down if you get to the point where you are.
Yeah, it's such a funny experience that I've had with it, because I went into it, you know, knowing that you loved it, knowing that a bunch of people were calling it this like 10 out of 10 game of the year thing. Mm. So maybe my expectations were too high. I was almost going into it expecting it to blow me away and for it to be the game of the year. And when I'm sort of being disappointed about it now, I think all of my criticisms are valid, but I also need to recognize I did have a lot of fun with it. I did think it was like amazing for the first 10 hours or so or whatever. Like, I've had a really enjoyable experience with it. I think the combat's so tight, like it got me in a loop that most roguelike games just don't. And I love, you know, exploring these characters, like I said, but now I've had like a week with it where I loved it and I just feel no pull to go back to it, which is weird because I normally get obsessive with like finishing games and seeing them through. But right. Knowing that even after I beat the final boss, I'm going to have to do these runs again and again and again, like that just doesn't really appeal to me. And there is a fundamental problem that I have with roguelikes in general, but also, so that's like part of it, but also I do think it's, you know, on the game's own terms, where I do feel like these half hour, 40 minute runs are kind of wasted if I don't get further in the final boss, because I'm not getting much out of the experience before then. Like, I've got the other bosses down, I've got most of the rooms down to the point where they're like, they're not much of a challenge, so it just feels like that's filler to get to the actual thing that I'm stuck on and the actual challenging piece. And I suppose I could experiment with new builds and stuff, but at this point I'm sort of thinking, why would I want to go back to the beginning and start from scratch with something else and kind of build that playstyle up? And I'm so close to getting there with the one.
Because then are you not getting more annoyed because you're trying to punch through something with this one build that maybe that's just not the way? Maybe you've got the wrong build. Maybe that's why you're losing.
Maybe there is certainly an element to that, but I have put time into like other builds, you know what I mean? I've spent a lot of time with the shield. I spent a lot of time with the sword. I did a good few runs with them, like trying to figure out like the different ways I could just brute force the power and, you know, complement my special ability and stuff. And I didn't find those as fun as the build that I'm maining at the moment. You know what I mean? There was something there that I didn't really appreciate. I didn't really appreciate the limited range on the melee attack of the shield, for instance. And I know there are power-ups that can get around stuff like that, but a lot of that's like luck of the draw, you know what I mean? It's like whether I'll get that power-up this time or whatever.
Benroy, will definitely bring your side in, but I think for the weapons, you do get Titan Blood and you can start like fleshing out like weapon-specific changes.
That is true. That is true. And I will give you that. But my counterpoint to that is to buy that Titan Blood, because I've got them all for the original weapons. You know, I've got the one that you can earn. And to get them all, unless I'm missing something, I need to buy it at a certain point in the game.
You get that one certain point in the game per weapon.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So I've got all of that stuff. But then you can buy more Titan Blood, can't you? From like a vendor.
Oh, you could. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Or when once you beat the final boss for the first time, it opens up being able to get more of it. Like either or, you get one Titan Blood per weapon run if you get far enough. And then like, which you could put into one of the weapons if you wanted to. You don't have to spend it on the weapon that you unlock it for. You could put everything into the sword if you wanted to. But Benroy, have you found like the weapons and different runs and character builds and stuff? Did you main a specific type?
The only weapons I've really used is the first sword, and I tried the bow, and then I instantly was like, ugh!
I hate the bow, to be honest. Yeah, I absolutely love the bow, but I can't get away with it.
And I tried it, and I was like, wait, is this bow? Am I really missing the beat of this? And I did the tutorial of the bow, and I tried to run with the bow. I was like, no, I hate this so much. And I went back to the starting sword, and then all I did is like rush it a few times. I beat the first boss. I can't remember her name, and then died straight away, and I was like, well, that's my playthrough for the night done, sort of thing. Like, and I see the problem that Josh has, like, with these sort of games specifically. If you stop playing a roguelike or like for more than a few days, it's almost like that's it, that's the chain broken. I feel like these games are meant to be like you build and build and build and build until you reach the climax of the game and beat it. And like, I think that's what I've liked about Spelunky 2 this year, where I've unlock shortcuts and I can go back into the game and work on a section that I'm learning and then I can go back and start a full run again afterwards. But yeah, with this, I'm gonna go back again and I try some more and I try some of the other weapons, but I just found it kind of just there, sort of thing. Like, and everything that I said against it, it's not like I'm saying this is a bad game. Like, when it comes to our sort of deliberations on game of the year and stuff like that, I think it will more suffer by the quality of the other stuff I've played rather than the quality of itself. Like, I don't really know where it slots in at the moment, sort of thing.
So what, other than you mentioned, like, being able to go back to certain areas and mop up stuff that way, and that kind of changes the progression. Like, is there any other main core stuff that makes Spelunky as an example, like as a comparison, like things that make, because I've played a bunch of roguelikes, but I've never stuck with one before. And like the thing with Hades, I think that kept me is like the characters, the story, like why Zagreus trying to escape, all the stuff with his potential mum. You get that flashback scene where he explores during the night and figures out what happened with like Hades' dad and stuff. Like I needed to know the answers to those questions. I thought that was a way bigger narrative pull than anything like Dead Cells or Rogue Legacy or anything like that had. But as like comparisons, like what is it about Hades that knocks it down compared to other games in the genre?
When you asked about the Spelunky, I think because I like the idea of just being so freeform, being able to like break through the floor and do simple things like that. And like, nah, if I can't just throw a couple of bombs and just go, or grab a cat, and if I save the cat's going to give me a little lick, and then I get another life, and then I'm going to feel good and sort of thing. And do I risk it and go and get the ghost treasure? Because if I get the ghost treasure, the ghost's going to come out and find me and obliterate me, sort of things like that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I prefer these type of games to be more mechanical than story. Like, I was getting to it a bit, but at the same time, like, I don't feel like I come to these types of games for story, because being back in like 95, you don't have a PS, you don't have a memory card, and then you've turned your TV off, but then your mum turns your PlayStation off at night, and then you've got to play the whole game again, sort of thing. Like, I know that it's not going to be exactly that sort of similar experience, but I wish there was more like, say, a story mode where I could just see it through.
I think the thing that like shot it in the foot for me eventually, like I said, like 30 hours, it took me about 30 hours to actually finally do a successful run. But that was based on the fact that I was missing like a whole bunch of key based upgrades, like on that list of the darkness powers. I'd accidentally gone on the one that is like a couple of arrows rotating, and I went on that and it reset everything. And I was like, oh, I'm never doing that again. But I didn't realize that right next to that is the rest of the powers that you can unlock. So I'd been banging my head against it on like a sub, like a half powered version of Zag for like I said 30 hours, and once I realized there was like this all these other powers, finally managed to finish it. However, once you get it finished the first time, you won't see all the story unless you finish it another 9 times or another 10 times. I think it's 10 in total, and that's full runs. And like for me, like it was one of those things where like I finished it. I think the best story stuff in the game is actually after when you finally beat the final boss and you get up to the see what's at the end. And it's that whole thing where like, I was like, I really want to see this through. But then half an hour, 40 minutes goes by, I die with like a sliver of health on the last boss. And I'm like, nah, I just don't have it in me. Like, I've beaten it 5 times in total. And then I YouTube the rest of the cutscenes, because I was like, I just don't have the time or the inclination. And I don't know how much that compares to other like examples in the genre in terms of asking you to invest so much time and hope that you can do this final thing at the end of this time investment. But that stuff really put me off eventually. But Josh, you're kind of like in that mindset already, like just getting all the way through for this one final thing.
Yeah, it's funny because obviously we've been talking while we've both been going through it, and while I was kind of trying to catch up. And I feel like where you are now, that is where I have been for like the past few hours, just on my first run. Right. And I just feel like I've just got to throw myself at this thing. Like, I say throwing myself at it, I've only had 3 attempts at the final boss, including the one where I first discovered them. You know what I mean? So it's not like I've just been throwing myself at this brick wall. It's just that I don't have the inclination to go back through it. And I think a part of it is that how little the rest of the game changes, which might sound weird because they do such a great job of surprising you with new characters and surprising you with new power-ups and, you know, little, you know, hidden, tucked away things that might pop up on another run that you have never seen before. But I think like the layout of the levels and stuff, like for me, that's gotten quite repetitive. Like, it does, I don't like going through those early rooms again, because I just feel like I've seen
everything. I remember when you messaged me and you were like, you said that you were in Elysium, and I was like, oh, you've seen 3 out of 4 already. And you were like, oh my God, that's it. Like, that is a hell of a realization, really.
I couldn't believe it when you said that. I thought there was still so much of the game left to go. And don't get me wrong, like, what is there is it's beautifully constructed. It's so gorgeous to look at. Like, the fidelity on display is genuinely amazing. But maybe it's because I just blasted through it. But I was like, I wish there was, like, another level where I could get through, like, before the final boss. Because there is this one area, not to spoil it for Roy, that every time I think about replaying it, I think about this one area that I have to get through to get to the final boss.
Does it involve poison?
It involves poison.
I wouldn't say that's a spoiler. It's just a crappy area.
Yeah, it's a crappy area where you need to find an item. And it just, for me, it just drags the thing down. Because I'm like, why do I need to do this? Why is this sort of filler thing right at the very end? I know it's there to, you know, give you a little bit of a boost before that final boss, allow you to explore a few extra rooms or whatever. But it's just the thought of doing that again makes me not want
to
go through
it. I have died to poison damage as well, just because it was just, my character, it was earlier on, but it was like, I wasn't built the right way. And I spent too long in one of those rooms, not realizing that I was poisoned because there was so much carnage in the room anyway, and I just died. And I think it's just that inbuilt thing of dying half an hour into a run where you just kind of go like, well, screw it then. Like, I don't know if it's just me, I don't know if it's the age I am, the amount of games that I play, the amount of things I'm trying to get through in a given week or whatever it is, but when a game just sort of throws up a thing and says like, you didn't get anywhere in the last 40 minutes, go do it all again, I'm just like, well, actually, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to go do something else.
It kind of reminds me of like, my platinum sort of like fest that was on last week, where I was like, play this whole game and don't die. And I was like, you having to like quit the game and re-upload a save to play the cloud and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think that the perfect reason why we've come into this and join like people that are listening and watching it. Yes, I've not played a lot of this yet. And that's the reason, because
a couple of hours is still a decent chunk though.
If you not noticed that Scott smashed it with 30, Josh, well, you're somewhere like in the middle of 10. And then I'm like the little child with 2. And it's just nice to see this like first experience go through. Mm-hmm. But I totally get like losing everything that you've done and sort of like, what now? Like, do you just carry on? And it's literally, you've got nothing left and it's just there. Like, what do you do?
Well, I think another thing as well, because I said to Josh when he was like saying that it's, because you messaged me, Josh, when you lost the second time, third time, whatever it was, to the boss, and you were like, I think I'm done. Like, I'm sick of doing a half an hour run and then dying. And that is eventually what made me go to YouTube, because I just can't. I can't waste another half hour and not get a payoff for it. But thematically, like, it completely works thematically. It completely feels like you're trapped in this space. And as Zagreus, you're trying to escape and you're up against like eternal forces, the fates themselves, telling you that you can't escape. And so like every time you die, obviously you get that sound cue, the sort of like death knell thing. And then Hades will insult you, or whoever it is, one of the different voices will insult you and stuff. And I thought pretty early on, I was like, okay, you want me to feel this way. You want me to give up. And I won't. And I didn't. And I got through it and I beat it and whatever. And how much do you guys think that sort of narrative backbone is justified versus just pummeling you and wasting your time?
I do think it's justified, because I like it when games do that. You know what I mean? Like when you get like a Dark Souls or something or whatever, and like the mechanics are built into the thematics of the narrative in a way that makes you feel like terrible. Like you just feel crap, but you're supposed to feel like crap because it's this existential horror that you're in about, you know, not being able to escape or whatever. I think that goes a long way to justify what you're doing. Just, I think you could make that point and also have more variance in what you're doing to make it at least feel kind of worthwhile. Like I understand the bosses always need to be there. They do shake those sub bosses up, you know, quite nicely. But at the same time, like, I keep going back to like the layout of the rooms and stuff. I just don't want to go through those rooms again, Scott Telford.
It's the same biomes.
It's
the same biomes.
I think they should have, like, after playing Spelunky 2, where I have the choice after doing the first area to go in two ways. Like, I can take another path, and then there's secret areas after that which you can use to subvert stuff. I think that has spoiled me now for any of this sort of game going on, because as Josh is saying, he doesn't want to go over that certain room again. If I was doing Spelunky 2 and had to go through the lava room every time with the floating robots rather than the jungle with the cheeky monkeys that steal my stuff, then I would have just snapped the game. Even though it's not physically there, I would have gone, no, I'm done, sort of thing. But yeah, I feel like if Hades had to say, like, just like, go through this gate to go here, or go through that gate to go there, and avoid poison land, which now I'm not looking forward to, and then sort of thing, like, I would, maybe that's the future of this genre.
Maybe the super quick thing to throw in is that obviously the risk they're taking, the dice they're rolling, is that they want you to have this rocky-like ascent up the final stairs, like, but they want to like push you down to the bottom of those stairs every time, so that when you finally have that one glorious run where you take everything on and you beat the final boss, that'll stay with you forever. And it will, it does, but that's a huge ask though.
It won't be glorious. It'll take time off your life.
Like, the elation when you win, though. Like, I was shivering and shaking, like, the same way that I was when I beat Ornstein and Smough in Souls for the first time. Like, I was like, oh, my God, I actually did it. Like, oh, my God, it's dead. Oh, my sweet God. I could not believe it. I was so glad. Because, like I said, that was 30-plus hours of dying to this thing.
Yeah.
Or dying to the game overall. So I think it works, but I think it's a massive ask of you as well.
Can I share a horror story with both of you?
Of course.
On my last run, I was just playing it, and you know when you just sort of have a limited window to play something, and I took it. I was like, right, I'm going to have a run on Hades before I need to make the tea or whatever. And I was going through it. I was like, yes, this is good. I'm doing well. And I kept getting the warning that the Switch was on low battery. My controls were on low battery. And I thought, it's fine. It's all right. I can push through. It's going to be fine. It's totally okay. And I kept pushing.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Through it, it kept popping up low battery, and I was like, well, I can't stop now, I can't stop the flow. No. Like, I'm doing really well, I'm specced exactly how I want, like, this could be the run, this could be the run. And it kept going from boss to boss, low battery, and I swear down, I'm not doing this for dramatic effect. I got to the final boss, and as soon as I dodged out the way of the first attack, that was it. Controller off. Controller stopped. The game didn't pause. It didn't pause. And I've realized it was only one side of the controller that went off, so I could run, but I couldn't attack. And I was trying to put it back on charge, and I put it on charge, and it wouldn't pause. And then I got most of my health taken off me, and I thought, you know what? This is my fault. This is not the game's fault. The game. Can't knock this down or anything. But that has broken me to an extent,
what, though,
and now I don't want to go back to it.
Will 100% hoist the various platforms, because why the living hell does every single platform not auto-pause a game when a controller runs out of battery? That happens on all three systems all the time. Like, how is that not a thing? But, I was going to say, like, Benroy, what was your... Because you got to Meg, you got the first boss and then got put down. Is the idea of, like, you know, approaching, I'm going to do a little bit of busy work and then the actual meaningful thing, is that in any way an enjoyable structure compared to other stuff that you've played?
Yeah, I think it's just been the mindset of that, and I maybe it's just where I am, where I just had sort of like a slightly challenging week last week, where I was putting myself through hell, like trying not to die from Xenomorph, trying not to die in Life is Planet, trying not to die in Resident Evil 7, just like, so, and then trying not to die in this. I've sort of like set myself up wrong for this game. It's right. Almost like from one hell to another, so...
It does ask a lot of you, to be honest. Like, yeah. It does want, you have to give a lot of it, give a lot of yourself to it.
I also, I don't think I could do what, I don't know if you played the handheld, Scott, but I was playing on the TV. Like, this is something that's happening with my Switch. I don't know if I like playing it handheld anymore. It's weird. Like, I feel like I'm feeling like I'm a bit older. I've got this thing behind me there. Like, I can just about do it if I'm out of the house, if I'm like on it, whenever we used to go on journeys and stuff. But that game on, I feel like maybe my eyes are like, I can't see what's going on here.
But I mean, there's a lot of like quite small text prompts in it. There's a lot of stuff to read and stuff like that. And like item descriptions, weapon descriptions. So like, yeah, I much prefer it on a big screen just because of how anarchic and crazy the combat can become. I guess
I want to see those graphics. They look large, like the game is flashing great. And like, sometimes you can't believe like Supergiant is a tiny team and that how they put this together and how they've kept putting banger and banger together. I've not played all their games, but so far like everything is reviewed like really well.
Oh my god, man, like if we ever do, I guess we probably could do, but I mean they started, I guess, Bastion in like 2011 or whatever it was, but if we did like best developers, most consistent developers of the generation, the last 10 years of all time, Supergiant are absolutely phenomenal.
Naughty Dog
would be up there, obviously. But if you haven't played Bastion, Transistor, Pyre, and now Hades, like they are 4 for 4 in regards to just absolute, I was going to swear there, absolutely effing slaying it. I think it's brilliant. We should talk about the minutiae of the combat though, because I think obviously a lot of it hinges on, it's like a Destiny style thing. It's like, it is a roguelike thing. It's like, can you enjoy this core combat enough to rerun these areas and rerun this sort of challenge over and over again? Do you guys feel like the combat has enough to it? Like, I know that you unlock different things in regards to, you know, dashes and splash attacks and, you know, area of effect things. And depending on what weapon you pick, that can change things. But did you find that immediacy of like, okay, I can see myself playing hours of this, or does it feel lacking?
No, I think the combat's like just incredible. It's like so boorish. Like I got addicted to that straight away, and especially how you can transform those weapons, like by, you know, pursuing upgrades. And I think a lot of the game and a lot of your progress through it actually comes from just knowledge that you build from how the power-ups work or which doors you should go through depending on which area you're in and stuff. Like all of that I absolutely love, and I think it's so rewarding when you like you get your backstab up and you're chaining kills together, you're firing off your special and stuff like that. I think it all comes together so like just so spectacularly, both on screen and, you know, the feedback that you get from the controller. The only issue is that it's so good that I don't want to do any other rooms that don't have a power up or whatever in them. Like, right. I couldn't care less about the darkness. I've got my guy almost fully, you know, specced out at the moment. I'm just putting points into increasing the percentage of the chance that I'll get for a rare boon and things like that.
That stuff where like you get to the bottom of that big key rollout menu and it's like, 250 darkness for plus 1% that I might get a better boon. I've just been like swapping that for the gems and then buying like a new set of curtains or something instead. Tens of people, or like a dog bed or like a chew toy for
Well, that's it, because I'm not really invested in upgrading the hub area or anything. Like, I just want those boons, I just want those upgrades, I want to interact with like those characters.
Is this not a problem though, where you want the game to be something it's not? Like, all of us have that sometimes, but like they want you to engage with all of those systems all at once.
I would say that is definitely true, but also I would disagree just because I don't think the darkness or the keys add much other than like a grind. Like at the moment, I'm just trying to save up 30 keys, so I don't really get that reward or want to go through a certain door because I'm like, well, I could use that, but it's ultimately only going to incrementally upgrade my character in a way that I'm probably not even going to notice. So
you do unlock more work orders for the construction guys to change the rooms that appear in each of those other biomes. Like, you can make it so that a different, like a health pool or a different chest or whatever, you can kind of start futzing a little bit with like what's going to appear in the underworld and what's going to be in them, Asphodel and stuff like that. So I think there is a reason to chase that, but it is a grind because the actual totals to get those amounts are like pretty high, and you're gonna have to rely on the merchant even letting you swap keys for gems if that is that option that time, because obviously the merchant stuff resets every time as well.
like everything, I think it all works best in its opening hours. Like in the opening hours, I did want to pursue those things. I wanted to pursue like those items that would help me in the world, like having a fountain in Elysium or whatever, like felt essential. But once I got all of the essential ones kind of like locked out, which I burned through quite quick. You know, for instance, I unlocked a thing for my character that cost like 600 darkness, where you get to revive yourself in every single room with like 30% health. Like once I had all of those essentials knocked off, that's when those rooms to get darkness, to get the keys and whatever felt like a grind, because I was getting really nothing from it anymore. Maybe that's just because, again, maybe I've just played this game too fast is what I'm sort of coming to.
I think you're fleeing. Me and Mr. Benroy, we both died to that first boss. I mean, I died to Meg like over and over again. Like, I guess one, Josh, did you beat Meg first time? And two, Benroy, what was your feeling of getting beat by the first boss?
I got beat by the first boss once, but then died. Then they died the second time. But
I just have this image of you, like, sort of head down, plays the game, looks up, and you're at the final boss. And I'm like, what then? What now?
The second boss, that was first time. Like, that was, like, straight through. So I got to, like, Elysium, so quick.
That thing, you, like, messaged me, oh, yeah, just beat the Hydra. I'm like, sorry, what? Like, I was on that for, like, a fortnight. Are you actual superhuman, Josh Brown? Yeah, Benroy, what's your thoughts on, I guess, the boss design and, like, coming up against that stuff over and over again?
I mean, so far, the one boss I've seen seems fine. I just ended up using my circles of scariness when I was dodging away for her to go in the circles and get some chip damage. But like, the reason why I failed the first time on that boss is just because I was not impatient, but I was like, well, I can get another hit in, and then you don't, and then you get slapped for it. And then you're dealing with large people with hammers, and then the witches that just fire the purple blobs
everywhere. Yeah,
and I think it's downside. I feel like sometimes I just want to do some more damage, and then you just don't, and then you die. But when you finally beat it, and then you die straight away afterwards, it's kind of like, well, that was a time.
I was going to say, because you comparing it to something like Spelunky, the thing that put me off Spelunky and eventually Rogue Legacy and stuff was the combat system, because it was super simple, like in terms of what you're actually doing. Whereas like Hades for me is closer to like a God of War or a Devil May Cry or something, like a platinum game.
Spelunky, it feels like you're on a tightrope the entire time. That like you can go from I've got loads of health, I've got a shotgun, I'm going through it, and then you get slapped, and then I put a clip on Twitter, I bounced off four things, and then a ghost came to me, and within a second I'd lost like 8 hearts and dead. And
I was was that not make you turn it off? I think I would rage quit.
I just laughed. I just like, well, there you go. That sometimes that's how life is, and then you're done, sort of thing.
Sometimes you get slapped.
Yeah, clip around the ear and that's it. But like, you start with like 3 hearts, and anything can do a heart's damage pretty much. Like, and like, even when you get like to the shaman guys, and then they can send their mystical skulls through the floor at you, but then sometimes you get lucky, and then they're chatting to each other, and then they're just the way that, because they've had this with the enemies now, that if they're human enemies, they just shout at each other, and they're like, and they're just, you can sort of like try and sneak past as well. So there's so much randomness to that. Like, and then somebody you miss because there's a spider will drop on you, and then that's it. And then little things like that, and then you're done. With this, I feel like Hades demands a lot more sort of like, not concentration, but you've got, there's a lot more like, it's a different type of skill, because with Spelunky, you're trying to think quick on your feet. I'm like, can I sort of get through that path, or am I going to have to sacrifice a bomb, or am I going to have to maybe go around somewhere else, or can I try and throw this thing at someone to knock them over? With Hades, it's more like, I feel like I'm just kiting enemies a lot and sort of like going around them and hitting them. And some of the ones with the shields that you have to sort of like kite them, get the shield down before you can get the decent stun on them. I don't know if a different weapon later on.
I was going to say, kind of, you can spec towards that over time. Like, you can get, I mean, you can make a character that was like, you know, dash damage does something to shields, and then you could combo that with, there's a million different combinations.
Is dash something that you can get rid of in that game, or do you have it towards the end? Because like, I don't see myself playing Hades without dash available.
You can get two dashes, mate, if you want to get two.
I want all the dashes, and I want my little dash damage behind me as well. Like, when I had Zeus's lightning coming down on my dash for a bit, I was like, yeah, that's good.
That's one of the things, if you spec towards, because I beat it on a combo of Zeus and Athena, with like the just specking all of their stuff. So you had like Athena's invulnerability, you had like Zeus's chain lightning stuff. stuff that was bouncing between everybody every time I was doing a cast and things like that. But yeah, like I think it's just, I don't know. They obviously want you to play around with as many different permutations as possible. I was going to ask, because like Josh, you just played through all the God of Wars, like the old school God of Wars. Do you employ that same mentality with Hades combat? Because the more I think about it, the more I do, the more I think of it as like Platinum style, Devil May Cry style.
Yeah, definitely. I think it works in that sort of same sense. You know what I mean? Playing that in God of War at the time was like great, because not only do they share a setting, but I felt like a lot of the tricks that I was using to balance a bunch of enemies in God of War translated quite nicely to Hades. Because I do think it works like a proper action game. You know what I mean? Which might sound like I'm putting it down by saying a proper action game, but I do think you, even without the boons and stuff, without all of that kind of added extra, systems when it comes to upgrading character and stuff, it works on a core level of skill. Like if you're good enough, you can get quite far, even though your health is very low, even though you don't have all of these power-ups and stuff. And I like that. I like that you have all of these options when it comes to taking out the enemies and stuff. Like you exploit their weaknesses and you get the double dash and you can start like just mishing around the levels and sort of taking people out. And there is a great sense of achievement when you fully know how to own one type of enemy that caused you hassle earlier on. I remember fighting the boys with the bombs who would just throw bombs at you. Yeah, like they absolutely wrecked me. But now like you just understand how to take them out. You gain that knowledge. And I do like how much of the game trades on you just understanding how things work and how enemies work. And it rewards you playing, you know, smartly. That's also something that kind of catches me out, because like Benroy was saying, you can get through to an extent on like instinct, but if you sort of like switch off, especially late in the game, like to be sometimes on my last run, for instance, I was quite far through and I just sort of eyes glazed over for a second and then I'd taken like a big chunk of damage just by doing something stupid and like again, going in for an extra hit when I knew I shouldn't, or, you know, not dodging at the right moment. And it's just like, I took my eyes off the steering wheel for a second and I know that's the point, but also that sucks. And I feel like I've just set myself back by being not in the moment. And I'm like, that is partly my fault, but also partly the fault of the game design as well for not being engaging in a way, because I zoned out because I'd done that stuff before and I just kind of wasn't paying it as much attention, which is a kind of strange balancing act to work, I suppose.
I totally agree that like the first time I died at the end and then went, I've got to do all this again, and I was like, surely they're not going to. And then as soon as you climb out of the blood pool and then Zag just says something, oh, here we go again, or whatever, mate, and I was just like, oh god, like this is a hell of a realization. Like, you really want me to do this again? But because they write around that and all the characters are very much aware that you've got to the end and then come back, everyone's like, oh mate, it's so hard on you, I hope you're okay. Like, and I was like, no, I'm not okay. Like, I want to give up and go to bed. And so I think because they write around that, and like, I'm assuming Benroy, you won't have found them yet, I don't think, but Josh, you will have found like Achilles' partner, and you will have found Eurydice, and like all the other relationships that are starting to come together that you're knitting together because you're the only one breaking the rules. You're getting out of the underground, the underworld, and talking to different people and stuff. Like I said, they write around that fail state in a way that I do find engaging enough to fight the whole like I've just wasted my time thing. But I think, I guess that is just increasingly diminishing returns, because the faster you get to the end, the less fundamental story it has to give you.
Yeah, that's it. Like I think I said in the last video we did, I almost wished that I didn't get through as fast as I did and instead was, you know, dying every three rooms or so. Then I think I would have appreciated those conversations more. Yeah. I genuinely wish I had your experience, because I felt like I would have felt a sense of progression and felt like I was learning more each time, whereas now I'm just running through and it is sort of diminishing returns. Like all of that stuff you just said was so exceptional for the first, you know, five or six times I went through the game, but then after that, every single time I go through it now, I'm like, right, okay, I'm gonna call someone that their mate, and then they're gonna tell me a little bit more about themselves. We're gonna have this weird kind of talk with Meg or whatever, and I'm like, right, okay, we've done this now. I'm almost just going through the motions. I'm sure there is more to come in terms of where those stories go, but It doesn't support dying in the way it used to. And again, I want to stress, I'm being very negative in this video, but like, I loved it. I love this game for so long, and I still love it when I'm playing it. And I think that's important. Like every single time, I've said to you, Scott, about three times that I'm done, that I'm finished, I'm like, over. And yet I go back to it because when I'm in it, like it's so fun to play. It's just when I'm out of it and I realize, oh, I'm just wasted some time there. Was that really as good as I wanted it to be? Like, do I care about these characters? That's when I get these questions, but I don't get them when I'm actually playing the game.
Yeah, which I think, like, obviously, like I said, it ties in completely thematically, and it puts me in the headspace of Zag. Like, it makes me have all the feelings that he must have, the sheer frustration of it, and the annoyance of just having to go again. Ben Roberts, what's your sort of closing thoughts on, do you see yourself going back and finishing it?
Yeah, I see myself going back tonight, and maybe not wasting so much time in Watch Dogs Legions. I could not speak there for a second.
Watch Dogs.
All right, Dodger. And then actually playing Hades tonight instead, because you know what? Hades deserves some more of my time, and Watch Dogs can go and get away for the weekend.
Yes. Well, yeah, we were going to, when we started out sketching out this podcast before we started recording, we thought we'd talk about Hades and Watch Dogs Legion. But that game is the most like expected Ubisoft open world crime game you could expect.
Can I just complain about London in that game, how they've deleted parts of London that you've worked and lived in for years, and they're just not there.
Don't exist, mate. All those parts of London are cancelled.
Gone. Camden, cut it in half, mate. But yeah, it's fine. So I'll just say that game's fine. Like, I got it for £40. Like, it's totally worth that if you want an open world sort of wander around
it's
experience.
Not worth 40 quid, mate.
Yeah, it is for the London. I think it is. I think. That's me saying that's as much as I would pay for it, but like, it's fine. It's totally, it's nothing revolutionary at all so far, apart from I just picked a guy and he turned out to be a cheery Jamaican gentleman, and he's been loving life so far, and I've been going around with him beating up the evil corporations. So yeah, just me and my old granddad man going along.
I think we might do another podcast on Watch Dogs the more that we've played of it, because I've only played a couple hours. I love the idea of recruiting any NPC. The fact that they pulled that off kind of blows my mind. But I think, I'm just curious to see what the reception of it is, because I feel like it's kind of buried. And with Assassin's Creed coming out, like, you know, next week, I'll just be amazed if anyone's even talking about Watch Dogs after that. That's another question or a discussion for another time. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. You can let us know what you think down in the comments below if you're watching the video version, or come find us on the social medias if you're listening along on the audio platforms. Can't think where I'm going to go with this. I already said it's the What Culture Gaming Podcast. It's still the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs and Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Good night.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.